Lord, give us all a rich growth of life. We give our hearts to you anew to work in them, that your word may grow in us. Lord, your heart may grow in us and bring fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. Praise the Lord. What a fruitful life that we bring fruit. One brings 100-fold, 60-fold, and the other 30-fold. 30 is the least that comes out. Such fruit. Such a dividend you have nowhere else. It's good to work with the Lord. It's good to deal with our hearts before the Lord. It's good that everything can be fruit and bring be an aroma for God. Through the fruits, that's it's pleasing. If the kids grow and they learn this and that, they develop well, then you enjoy it. That's the greatest joy you can have. Yeah, when you what you invest can bring fruit. And God wants to see that all the work He invested and continues to invest that makes us like His Son. His goal, though, is that we all become like His Son. Once He gave us the life of Christ and we grow in Him and work with Him, that we're like Christ. We live like Him. That's what the Lord wants to have. He's the first one among many brothers. Isn't that glorious if the Lord does such a work in all of us? That's why it's so important that we preserve our hearts. It doesn't become like the wayside, that the world keeps walking on us and we can't receive anything. And it just moves by like a train. Then we have to tell the Lord, Lord, save me in my heart. Deal with my heart. Our heart doesn't become soft by itself. It only becomes soft when we work with Him. The Lord will not dig up the garden in our heart. The Lord will not take away the weeds from our heart. That's your work. I give you the Spirit. I give you the Word. Now come to me and make your heart soft. The Lord says, repent because the kingdom of heaven is nearby. Always when I see a field, I have to think, that's when the plow goes over a field, that's like repentance. Once the field first is hard and then the plow goes through, then you can work with it. The Lord wants to have a spiritual plow in our hearts that we turn. There cannot be anything old, nothing hard. It all has to become new and soft. And even these hidden stones have to come out. A hidden love for the world, a hidden sin. You think it doesn't do anything. It will do a lot of things. It will stop you from growing. You think no one sees what I'm doing. Oh, there's soil above the stone. But where I give room to my flesh in the hidden part, then you will not grow. The root cannot go in. We have to test our hearts before the Lord. If we do not bring a rich fruit, we have to ask the Lord, what hidden things do I have in my heart? It might be a bitter root, an offense towards someone, that I have an offense. It could kill your spiritual life. You cannot keep such things in your heart. that offenses happen, that's for sure. That's what the Lord said. But if you take offense and you keep it, that's your own decision. You cannot stop anybody from hurting you, that someone treats you unfairly. You cannot stop that at all. You can't prevent it. Who has been here for a longer time, there can be really difficult situations. But wherever you can prevent through the Lord is that it becomes an offense in your heart. You can stop that. We should forgive like He has forgiven us. That's what the Lord said. We should not keep anything in our hearts. No lust of the world. Sometimes you can pretend before the saints something. That doesn't help me. If I pretend before the saints, and when I go home, I fill myself with the world, and then I wonder how the life of the Lord does not grow in me. I enjoy the word, and then I go home and switch on the TV. How can the life of the Lord grow in me? Everything I've received, and I go home and switch on the TV, after 10 minutes, it's all gone. It will be wiped away. We have to be honest before the Lord. It's not about pretending before other people. That's worthless. Then the spiritual life cannot bring any fruit that can be well-pleasing to God. You have to be serious with the Lord. You have to say, Lord, this lust has to go. This thing has to go. This thought, I kill it. I don't want to have anything to do with it. And especially when we deal with the hidden things, then we start growing and there will be fruit. Then the life of the Lord becomes strong. These hidden stones have to be moved out. If you go to the Swabian Alps, there are all the fields are in the are full of stones, but the stones, no one threw them on it. But from below, new stones come up. You can't stop that stones keep coming, but you have to be diligent working on the heart. You have to go and gather the stones and throw them out. That's what we had to do as children on the field. We got a bucket and had to collect the stones. And that's what we have to do with our heart. Lord, I want nothing to remain in my heart that hinders the growth. And no suffering or persecution. Oh, because we enjoyed the word, and now it's going to be glorious and amazing when we go back. Why not? Because the Lord wants His life to grow in us. Did the Lord have an easy life on this earth? André, was it easy? He was born in a 5-star hospital, and all the doctors were there at his birth. There was just a donkey and a cow there. No one of us was born like that. And after that, someone wants to kill him. No one has experienced that of us. Yeah, that someone tries to kill us. And he has to flee as a toddler. He has to flee. And he comes back and he grows up in a poor family. They don't have much. And then he grows up in a city that has a bad reputation, Nazareth. And when he went out for the gospel, they said, what good could come from Nazareth? And when he was serving, did everybody praise him? No, they persecuted him and wanted to make him fall. And they, in the end, they were calling to crucify him. And through all these difficulties, God was expressed. He didn't draw back. And the more the Lord brings us to maturity, we learn that sufferings will mature us together with the life of the Lord. Without suffering, there's no, there will be no maturity. But you get the flow of the Spirit, and in the difficulties, you need the throne of grace. Then glory comes out. And these fruits that God enjoys, the first fruit that He enjoys is the burnt offering. That's the first aspect of the menu of God. That's what He truly enjoys. A man who truly lives for Him. A man who lives fully for His will, who doesn't do what he likes himself, but does what God likes. What an enjoyment must it have been for the Father when His Son was on the earth and fulfilled the whole Scripture. Can you imagine how God enjoyed this? The Lord didn't say, oh, I don't want to be born in Bethlehem. I want to be born in Jerusalem in a palace. The Lord accepted it. The Lord didn't say, I don't want to grow up in Nazareth, but with a high priest. The Lord didn't rebel against who will be the 12 disciples. I want those with the first place degree from the school. And He said, take the fisher from the Seged Lake. And He even had to take Judas, and He even had to wash Judas' feet in John chapter 13. The Lord didn't send Him out before the foot washing, but after. And He accepted the death on the cross with all shame that happened before Him, spitting at Him and beating. Everything that the Father wanted, He accepted. Not how I want, but how You want. Wow. And Pilate said, what a man. How did God the Father enjoy this Christ? In Matthew, He said many times that the Scriptures may be fulfilled. The Lord did in all things the will of God. If it was easy or difficult, it didn't matter. It was what the Father wanted. That's the burnt offering. In Psalm 69, that's where it's written. Verse 9, Psalm 69, verse 9. I read verse 8. Sorry, I'm jumping a word. It's verse 6 in English. Let not those who wait for You, O Lord, God of hosts, be ashamed because of Me. The Lord did not come for the redemption in the first place, but He came to fulfill the plan of God. The biggest problem of man is not sin, but the biggest problem is that we're not for God. The sacrifice number one is the burnt offering. Because the first fruit that God looks for is that man is for God again, fully. That's what the Lord came for, to bring this back. Let not those who wait for You, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed because of Me. He wants to bring man back to the purpose that God brought him for. We have been made for the purpose of God, that we haven't been made to, that we are free of sin and become children of God, but we have been created for the will of God. Let not those who seek You be confounded because of Me, O God of Israel. Because for Your sake I have borne reproach. It's not because He did something bad. The Lord did only wonderful things. Which sick people did He not heal? Those who suffered, who did He not help? Did He harm anybody? No one. But He did the will of God. That's why He had shame. In this world, the enemy rules. The Satan rules. Everybody who lives for the will of God will not have respect from this world, any honor from this world. If you live for the will of God, people of the world will not understand it. At work, they will not get it. Why are you doing this? People said so many times, why don't you invest your time in something else? My boss is one of those who likes to stress this. But it's so good. In this world, the Lord was nothing. The Lord bore the shame. He said, shame has covered my face. Even in the church, it's better to bear shame, but to get praise. Getting praise is very very dangerous. We should not praise any brother, any sister. We should praise the Lord. And if the Lord helps us through the fellowship, then we praise the Lord. Because everything comes from the Lord. We all cannot do anything that can be pleasing to God. We can only cause trouble. But when the Lord gives us grace, then He can go on. I've become a stranger to my brothers. Not just the world was against him, but even his family was against him. And that many of us will have to suffer that and already suffered that. I and an alien to my mother's children, suddenly like you're like an alien in your family. Suddenly you're not kind of present for them. But the Lord also suffered that. Thank you, we have a heavenly Father. And we have the heavenly family. Because zeal for your house has eaten me up. And the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me. Yeah, the zeal for your house has eaten me up. It's wonderful. This burnt offering, he was eaten up by it. The fire in him never went out. There could have been many reasons for the Lord to give up. When he was in the most difficult situation, all the disciples left him. Do you want to keep going then? When everybody leaves, you want to keep going? Or do you want to give up? Did the Lord give up? And did he say, oh, now it's enough. Everybody left. The Lord stayed close to the Father. The Father stayed close. The Lord was eaten up, and he never let this fire go out. In Leviticus 6, verse 3, it says, what happens to the burnt offering? Yeah. Maybe verse 13. He shall take the ashes and shall put it next to the altar. Let the fire of the Lord keep burning in us. But the fire on the altar shall be kept burning. What burns in us? That was verse 12.
Amen.
The fire that the Lord keeps giving into our hearts. All of us keep the fire goes out. That's always a danger. But the Lord is, he always is burning whenever we come to the Lord. He lights the fire anew in us. Where shall we go when we notice the flame goes down? so many things and difficulties have put out the fire, then we have to go to the burnt offering altar. Because on the burnt offering altar, the fire will never go out. Yeah, you have to say, Lord, I repent. Everything that put out my fire, put it away. The fire shall be kept burning. How does he do that? That's why the priest shall be put wood on it morning, every morning. How does your day start? Is it hectic? Do you barely make the bus, or you hardly miss your train? Did you rush into work that you don't miss your meeting? Or the parents? Do you rush them out, the children? And then you keep doing your housework? There's so many things we could do in the morning. But because we are priests, we should put wood, burn wood on it every morning on the burnt offering altar. We all have a priestly service at the burnt offering altar. And we shall put wood on it and shall burn on it fat of the peace offerings. It's so important. We always saw those who fall and don't stay, it's something. It's a process that's very slow. One day you don't light the fire, and next day you don't light the fire. And the longer the fire is off, the harder it gets to switch on the fire. If there's still ashes that are glowing, you put a piece of wood on it, it's not so hard to light it again. But if everything is cold, then it's really hard to light it again. Once we become lukewarm, it's hopeless. Because when you're lukewarm, you think you're okay. You think I'm not completely cold, but I'm also not hot. And then someone says, let's light the fire again. And then you say, why do you tell me I should light the fire again? I'm going on with the Lord. You get offended. This lukewarm condition, he says to Laodicea, he says it makes him vomit because it's the worst condition that you could fall into. You are not completely cold and no people see you and say, oh, you're completely in the world. You stop reading the word and are living far away from God. But if you're lukewarm, that's a bad condition. And lukewarmness goes step by step. It's very slow. And then verse 6 says, so the fire shall be kept burning in Luke 6:12. I don't need a microphone anyways. It shall not be put out. Thank you, Lord. That's the first thing we need. Christ, our burnt offering. Never shall this fire go out in us. We shall not be less burning today than in the beginning. We should keep burning like how we did for 30 or 40 years ago. Paul said to Timothy, I remind you that you light the gift of God again that is in you. What zeal do we have to serve the Lord? Is it like in the beginning? Yeah, if not, then you have to light the fire again. It shall not go out. And it will be burned to ashes. The burnt offering will become ashes. It becomes nothing. An ox becomes a heap of ashes. Is that nice? Does anybody of you enjoy these ashes? God does enjoy it. Everything that's high before people is horrible before God. If we serve God by ourselves, then we become high, and that will be, the Lord hates it. When we use our own strength, our own ideas, if we want to be something in the church, the more you serve independently of the Lord, because you have many good ideas and you have a natural zeal for God, the more, the higher you become, and in the end, it will be your downfall. What does it mean to serve God as the burnt offering? Your whole strength, your whole execution, what you're thinking, it is through the Lord. Even in the children's service, we should not go do anything through our own ideas. We should be fearful to do anything by ourselves. Everything we do by ourselves, it will make us proud. It's the biggest poison for our spiritual life. The Lord did not dare to speak anything by himself. In John chapter 14, John 14, he said, I wrote it down. I'll tell you later if someone has this to you. The Lord says he can't speak anything by himself, or in John 14:10 was the verse. The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority. That's so important. If we speak from ourselves or do it by ourselves, we will all fall. That will bring pride, and that will bring death. If the brothers speak by themselves, and that will bring death into the church. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. We have to wait upon the Lord. We have to humble ourselves before the Lord. We have to be willing to become nothing before the Lord, to become ashes. But when we wait on the Lord until he gives us instructions, then we become more and more ashes. Then we stay healthy and humble. But when we start serving in a different way, then death is at the door. And then it will be thrown out by the Lord. That's why this burnt offering becomes ashes. The words that I speak to you, that I don't speak by myself. But the Father who dwells in me, he does the works. That's the burnt offering. In Philippians, the word admonishes us, this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Although he was like God, he didn't see it. He made himself to nothing, and he took the he became like man. We're all slaves. We all have to follow what the Lord tells us. Then God works. Then we don't have to worry. Then we won't be lifted up, but we can honor him. Praise the Lord. And when we serve him like he likes it, that's what should we say at the end of our service? I am a useless servant, but I just did what I was supposed to do. That's so good. And always tell the Lord, I'm a useless servant. We're just flesh. We're nothing. Praise the Lord. In the end, there's ashes. And this word ashes in Hebrew is well-pleasing. That's what God enjoys. Everything else he doesn't enjoy. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God, to serve God is a special service. You become less and less, and it becomes just ashes. Praise the Lord. That's good. That's a well-pleasing aroma for the Father. Then you're free about what people think about you. If you're thinking about what people think about you, what do other people think about me? Then we're not ashes. Then we look at people. If we have thoughts like that, I'm not a servant of Christ, then we're not free. I cannot just do what the Lord wants. Often the Lord wants us to do things that other people don't like. But it has to be from Him. We have to be sure. And it has to be His zeal in us, not our own fire. Our own fire is not good, but His fire. That's the experience of Christ as a burnt offering. And when we experience Him like that, the only thing you get from the burnt offering is a new coat that's in Leviticus 7, verse 8. Leviticus 7, verse 8. And the priest who offers anyone's burnt offering, that priest shall have for himself the skin of the burnt offering which he has offered. You get a new skin, a thicker skin. You don't become insensitive to the needs of people, but you stop being so offended easily, to not draw back so easily and give up. But you get a skin of leather, a protection. If you serve God, it's not popular. But we need Christ as the skin of the burnt offering. Then someone criticizes you. Then you start serving 4 weeks later. And if someone said, oh, I didn't like what you did, you'd take a long break. But we need Christ as a burnt offering. We don't need our own thick skin and think, oh, what are you telling me? And you tell the Lord, Father, you know. That's wonderful. Christ, our burnt offering. And that's what we rely on in our faith. All strength comes from Him. Our own strength is so short. But you can put your hand on the head of the burnt offering. And you can say, Lord, give me all strength, all wisdom, all supply to serve you. That's the only source that we need. And the next thing that God enjoys is the meal offering. This humanity, I often thought about Colossians 3. How does it look like if we live Christ? You might think, no longer I live, but Christ lives in me. It looks like the burnt offering. You live for God. You don't do your vacation, and then I do this and that. You're not free anymore. Everything depends on Him. And then, to live Christ. But you can see it when you come home, to my home, in Colossians 3. To live Christ, wives, submit to your husbands, how it's well-pleasing to the Lord. That's what, as it is fitting in the Lord, in verse 18. Yeah, submitting. If you're constantly speaking against your husband and there's constantly arguments, then that's not living in the Spirit. As it is fitting in the Lord. That's in the Lord. That's beauty. And that brings peace into the family. That's how you can practically practice to submit. And the brothers have to learn to submit to Christ. Christ is submitting to God. Man is submitting to Christ. And wife submits to the husband. Then everything is great. if something is messed up there, then the enemy comes in. Where does it get messed up the first time? In the Garden of Eden. The wife became independent of Adam and started discussing with the serpent. That's where the fall came from. If the wife had submitted to the husband, then she would have said, I have to get my husband. Then it would have ended right there. We don't know, we are not so sure about Adam. He wasn't Christ, submitting to Christ either. Both weren't submitting. It was double the error. And then the fall came. But today, that's what it means to live Christ, to submit in the Lord. That doesn't mean that you have to say yes and amen for everything, but you have to be humble and you are not looking to argue and you don't put fire on a conflict, but you are in the Lord. That's a practice. Husbands, love your wives and don't be bitter about them. That means what it is living Christ. You love your wife like Christ loved the church. That's how husband should love your wife. Yeah, if you're married for half a year, you say, I love my wife. How is it after 10, 20, 30 years? I don't know how many years you have been married, maybe 50 years. Do you still love your wife like Christ loved the church? If the love is there, if the husband shows the love, there's so much oneness in the family that brings a way for the Lord to be expressed. That's what it means to live Christ. Do not stay in your anger, but husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Do you want to live Christ? Take him for that. That's what he is our meal offering for. That we learn to live by him. Isn't that glory? And fathers, that's also for the mothers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. And it's in German we say, the tone plays the music. If you speak strongly to the kids, there will be a reaction that will stir up the flesh. To live Christ and through the Lord, quiet and in clarity, to correct them. That's where you need Christ as your meal offering. That's that they don't become discouraged. When you come to my home and you will see how much you live by the Lord. How shall we live by the Lord? There's only one way. You have to let go of your soul life and eat Christ. With the meal offering, God only gets a handful and the rest is for the priest to eat. Why is it so hard for us to live Christ? Because often we haven't learned in the spiritual way to eat Christ richly. To just have morning watch isn't enough to live Christ. Do you only eat breakfast? Is only breakfast enough? You need a snack. You need lunch. You need afternoon snack. Even especially if you work hard. If you indeed work, you can just have one little piece of bread and then you're strong for the whole day of work. That's not enough. And with this meal offering, it's important that the priest learns to eat it. I told the Lord, I have to learn to eat you much more all the time. Through the word, to chew it, to take it with prayer. Who of us reads the word with prayer and faith every day as food? that it makes us strong. How do you know that you ate the Lord? That you 20 minutes did a certain thing? But by if you live by Him, but in order to live by Him the whole day, you have to chew the cud. You have to eat it over and over again. If the Lord speaks to us until it is digested, you have to chew it again. The last few days I enjoyed, the Lord was speaking something, and I was chewing it the whole day, that not the old man comes up, but the new man, to live by Him. We should learn and say, Lord, I want to be in the preschool. I want to experience the meal offering. I want to learn to live by You. And if we live by Christ like that, in Colossians 3, he talks about work, that you are not doing eye service as men pleasers, or you look for your own honor. If you're at work, it's about recognition or money or having a career. That's also not living Christ. But how shall we work? Yeah, we should. Yeah. Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Yeah. Yeah. That's verse 23. And you shouldn't please yourself to live Christ. It means your work, you do it unto the Lord. Even your housework, even at home, if you clean up, do it to the Lord. Don't just do it that it's clean, but do it in the Lord. Everything you do in water work, do it as to Christ. And do you know what is astonishing? To learn such a live a life, and you think just family, work, household. Verse 24, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. If we learn to live practically by Christ, then we will get the kingdom. If I learn at home, at work, in everything I do to live Christ, we will get the inheritance, the kingdom. That's pretty strong. What an encouragement. That's why we have to eat Him. Thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. And then there's the peace offering, peace with God, peace with people. That's what shows how we can live by the Lord. And the sin offering. The sin offering is a victory over sin and death and the world. And one more point I want to bring with all these sacrifices is that the priests put their hands on the head of the sacrifice. It's all through faith. Our faith is mighty and is precious. If we hear all these things, like, I'm never going to live like this. I'm not doing that at work, at home. I haven't learned to live by Christ, to be a peacemaker, oh Lord, and then to the sin offering. I will never learn that. Maybe we think like that, but that's unbelief. Then we look upon ourselves. We look upon our own experience. And then we cannot learn to live by the Lord. There's an easy image that's a wall, a narrow wall. There's three people. Maybe some people know about that. You can only keep going forward if you look to the front. In the front, there's always the truth, the Word, and the Lord. The Lord is the one who is in front. He is always the same. He always has the victory over sin, over death. what follows after. That's where our faith is. Our faith looks upon the Lord, looks upon the Word, and if we look upon ourselves, then we will fall prey to sin. Then we will not be able to overcome sin. Then we look upon ourselves. That's impossible to overcome this thing in the world. Then we look back, and then we fall off the wall. Our faith looks upon the Word, looks upon the Lord. And we say, Lord, I want to live by the faith. To live by Christ is living through faith. You don't look upon yourself. In the back is the experience. If the faith looks upon the experience, then we fall back. That will not help us go on. But if we look upon the Lord, upon His Word, and we say, Lord, You are the sin offering. You have overcome the world. Praise the Lord. Then we will overcome the world. That's what John said in 1 John 5:4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Can we all overcome the world? Do you have the faith? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's keep the faith. We have to look upon this Word when we go out into the world. Remember the Word. Think of the Lord. He is the truth, not the lust of the world. He is the truth. Everything that is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Through the faith, you say, Lord, I am one with You. You are my sin offering. Through You, the world is overcome. Through You, the flesh has been overcome. And the sin, Lord, I'm one with You. This law of the Spirit of life has made us free of the law of sin and death. Even death has been overcome. That's the worst enemy that you should never let in. And who is he who overcomes the world? But he who feels it, who feels strong? If we wait upon until we feel strong, that doesn't work. You always don't feel strong. It doesn't say he who thinks he's able to or is strong. Yeah, the morning watch was good, then the whole day is going to be great. But it's important to do it through faith. It's he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. We should all be people of faith. That's how we can experience Christ as all the offerings. Then God will get a lot of glory and honor in His house. Now we don't have the time. And Malachi shows us, in the end, the priesthood was completely fallen. They did not hold on to these sacrifices. They gave Him sick things and lame things and blind things. They took it loosely. And that could happen to us with the worship. We have been learning the worship for 10 years. What are we bringing now? Do we bring well-pleasing sacrifice, or do we bring sick, blind, lame things? As long as we brought something, then the priesthood has gone down. How the offerings go down, that's how our condition is. And you despise the table of the Lord, and they ate unleavened bread, but they brought leavened bread, and they despised Him. When we come to the table of the Lord, and there's unleavened bread, and there's leaven in my heart against my brother, against the sister, then I despise the table of the Lord, that we don't keep the feast how the Lord likes it. This word of Malachi really spoke to me. We should not despise the table of the Lord. If we despise the feast and the table of the Lord, if we honor it more and take it more seriously, and our sacrifice are well-pleasing to the Father, and eat of the bread, that we get rid of all leaven in our hearts, then we will arrive as priesthoods at the goal. That's why we have the table every week. If it becomes a ritual, I take the bread, I take the wine, and I bring something to the Father, and something sick, and something lame and blind ends up coming out, then we become like Malachi 1. And that's the same as Laodicea. Then God will not be happy with us. It's God's wisdom that He gave it the table to us every Lord. It shows our condition clearer than anything else. If we keep the feasts in the right way and eat the food in truth and get rid of all unclean things and bring well-pleasing offerings to the Lord, how can the priesthood not arrive at the goal? Let this word of Malachi go into your hearts and tell the Father, I want to bring you the best food. No lame animals, but a healthy animal, a pure animal, and no leaven in my heart, and no honey. But I want to appreciate your table.